Just a heads up, the latest Beardy Moj book, The Matzah Monster, is now available on Amazon. Just in time for Pesach. This is the story of Duvi and the Mishloach Manot from Mars. Duvi was the class clown at his school. He was always thinking of funny jokes and making everyone laugh. And he loved playing pranks on people, especially on his little brother, Carmi. And it was the month of Adar, and it was almost time for Duvi's second favorite holiday, Purim. What was his favorite holiday, you ask? Tu B'Shavat. Don't ask me why, he's just that kind of guy. Duvi had come up with the best costume idea of his entire life. He was going to be Og, Melech HaBashan, the giant from the Torah. According to our tradition, the only one other than Noach and his family who survived the Mabul, the flood that destroyed almost all humanity. At one point, Og supposedly held a mountain over the Jewish people and threatened to crush them, until Hashem sent some ants to bore a hole in the mountain, and it sank around his neck. Anyway, it was the morning before Purim, and Duvi was at the pet store, trying to find just the right ants for his costume. Duvi said, I really like these black ones, but these big red ones just look so fierce. Hey, Meiri! What color ants did Hashem send to bore a hole in the mountain of Og Melech HaBashan? Duvi's friend Meiri said, that's a really specific question. I don't think it says in the Talmud. Why don't we just concentrate on getting the stilts for our shoes, and then we can just lay your costume out in a pile of sugar outside and see what color ants show up? Duvi said, Meiri, I'm proud to have you as my partner in crime. You are going to make one great sikon. Meiri said, that sikon, Melech HaEmori. Duvi said, it sure is, brother. Let's go cause some mayhem. Duvi and Meiri left the pet store and went to get stilts for their shoes to make them look like giants. Just then, Duvi's little brother, Carmi, stepped out from behind the fish tanks. Carmi said, really, Duvi? You're going to cover yourself in ants and go to shul? That is so degrading. Even for you. I got to teach these clowns a lesson. Carmi scooped a few goldfish into a bag filled with water. And he smiled. He said, this is going to be the best Purim ever. When Duvi got back to his house just a few hours before Purim started, he grabbed a huge cup of sugar. He went to the porch with his costume. He said, Hashem, Merciful One, King of the whole universe, please, please, grant me an abundant bounty of ants crawling on my costume. Whether they're black or red, I'll leave that up to you in your infinite wisdom. But please help them to not fall off so that I can creep out my neighbors and friends, so that I can fulfill the mitzvah of being joyous on Purim. Oh, and please bring world peace also. Carmi walked out onto the patio. He was dressed up as King David, and he was holding a royal scepter. He said, hey, Duvi, what are you doing? Duvi said, Carmi, now is not a good time. I need to make sure that my Og Melech HaBashan costume is evenly coated with a fine dust sprinkling of sugar. I only want to attract the finest ants. So I'll just ever so carefully sift this cup of sugar out. Wait a minute, what is that over there? Carmi said, I have no idea. In the middle of the driveway, there was a giant ribbon-wrapped basket. Doovy said, "Is that a Mishloach Manot?" Kermie said, "I don't know. Why don't you go find out?" "I need to get to shul because I want a front row seat for the Megillah. See you later." Kermie holstered his scepter and flew off on his bike as Doovy stomped over to the driveway. There was a basket covered with green slime that had all sorts of weird stuff in it. There were deep space cookies, meteor munchers, and some kind of puffy potato that was breathing and spitting out glitter. Doovy said, "What in the world is this?" He touched the puffy potato thing. It stopped spitting glitter, and it illuminated a hologram onto Doovy's garage door. It was some kind of super weird language that Doovy had never seen before. Just then, Meiri showed up. He was walking very carefully on some giant stilts. He said, "Doovy, are you ready to go to the Megillah reading?" Doovy said, "Hold on, Meiri. I gotta figure out who this gift is from. What is this totally weird language that's showing up at my garage door?" Meiri said, "It's probably from that new Jewish family on the street that just moved from Andorra. I think there's like only 100 Jewish people in their whole country. So they might not know the correct date to give Mishloach Manot." Doovy said, "Oh yeah, I met those people. They're actually pretty nice. Let me take out my phone and I'll try to translate this into English. What language do they speak in Andorra?" Doovy took out his phone and he opened up the Translate Lens app. He pointed the camera at the garage door, and the phone analyzed the text. After a whole 2 minutes of scanning its databases, it said language, Martian. It translated the message. It said, "Dear Og, Melech HaBashan, you probably don't remember us, but we came to Earth a few thousand years ago, and we asked to meet the most powerful king in the world. And, well, the people brought us to you. You were a little bit rude, but you gave us an incredible artifact, enormous in size, that only you were able to lift, which we treasured, and we would desperately like to research. But at the time, we didn't have a spaceship strong or technologically advanced enough to transport it back to our home. So it's still hidden on Earth. But now, after an unprecedented technological revolution, we finally have a spaceship that can carry it back. And we need you to help us retrieve it. It's dangerous for us to show ourselves on Earth. So we can only come down for one day, Purim, when everybody's dressed in crazy costumes anyway and nobody's gonna recognize us. Please accept this Mishloach Manot from Mars. And please go to these coordinates and collect the object. You're the only one who can lift it until we attach it to our spaceship. But the spaceship is too big to get into the hiding spot. When we see that you have it in your possession, we'll come and meet you. Purim Sameach." Meiri said, "So, what does it say?" Doovy said, "This Og Melech HaBashan costume must be incredible. Someone is out there, and they think I'm Og." Meiri said, "I told you that papier-mâché mountain around your neck was going to be crucial." Doovy said, "You were right, Meiri. But much like Og, I think we might be in over our heads. There's an alien race that sent us this Mishloach Manot. They're expecting us to bring them something we can't possibly lift." Meiri said, "Well, where is it? We shouldn't just give up until we find out what it is." Doovy typed in the coordinates from the message into his phone. The location was in the forest at the edge of town. Doovy said, "Wait a minute, if there was an artifact from Og Melech HaBashan, why on earth would it be in our town? Wouldn't it be near Israel or something?" Meiri said, "Well, he was a giant, he could probably walk all over the planet pretty fast. Doobie said, okay. But why would aliens send a Mishloach Manot to Og? He's not even Jewish. This is highly suspicious. I think somebody might be trying to play a prank on us. Miri said, so what should we do? Doobie said, we're going to go to shul and hear the Megillah. And then we're going to do what it is we do best. Miri said, we're going to bake blueberry muffins? Doobie said, no! No, the other thing we do best. Prank. Miri said, oh, right. Wait, what about the ants for your costume? Doobie said, oh, I totally forgot. There's no time now. We're just gonna have to use chocolate sprinkles. Doobie grabbed a glue stick and a shaker full of sprinkles, and they headed off to shul. They got there just a few seconds before they started reading the Megillah. Doobie glued the final sprinkles to his costume. With the papier-mâché mountain around his neck, minus a few thousand inches, he looked just like Og. They grabbed a seat just in time to say Amen to the Bracha Shehekianu. And they had in mind that Bracha was covering all the mitzvos of Purim. Yeah, they knew the halakha. Then Doobie started scanning the crowd, trying to figure out who was trying to prank him. He silently noted several of his school friends who probably wanted to get him back for stuff he'd done to them. 20 minutes later, when the Megillah was finally over, he hurried up to the front of the crowd. He said, everyone, I know it's Purim, but something extremely important has come up. Today I received a Mishloach Manot from Mars. I know. Mishloach Manot aren't given out until tomorrow. But these aliens are trying to make contact. I couldn't really understand the message they sent, but I think they're trying to take over Earth. Just like in the story from the Megillah, there's an insidious plot to destroy us all. But now it's not just the Jews. It's the entire planet. I've been in touch with a confidant at the local junkyard. He says he has a spaceship we could use to fly to Mars and start this apocalyptic battle before they come to us. So who's with me? Who wants to be a modern-day Mordecai and Esther and ride against our enemies? The entire shul was silent. A couple little kids in the front giggled. Doobie's friend from school, Sruli, spoke up. He said, Doobie, stop trying to prank us. We know there's no such thing as aliens. Right, Rabbi? Rabbi Glick, the town rabbi, said, well, the Torah is actually not so clear about that. It says in the Zohar that just like there's seven heavens, there's also seven layers of our earth. And strange foreign creatures live on each level. There's even a story in the Midrash about how the king of the demons brought up a man with two heads from the land of Tevel, way deep underground, and brought him to King Shlomo. There's also other stories in our writings about how strange creatures appeared to rabbis out of nowhere. So aliens aren't necessarily impossible. Just then, everybody started screaming! Ah! Aliens! Aliens! No! 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 Then, Carmi spoke up. He said, Doobie, I highly doubt that you got a message from some aliens, and if you did, why don't you show it to us? Otherwise, I have a suspicion that you're trying to prank us. Doobie said, you don't believe me? Here. And he took out the alien-looking potato thing from his Mishloach Manot. It coughed up some glitter. Then it projected the hologram message onto the shul's wall. Everyone said, whoa, what does it say? Carmi took out his phone. He said, "Wait a minute. This message says these so-called aliens need the help of Og Melikabashan to retrieve some long-lost item. Guys, I bet if we go to these coordinates, we're gonna find some prank that Doobie set up for us. Who wants to come with me so we can find out just how low Doobie can go?" Doobie said, "I have no idea what's at these coordinates." Everyone said, "Yeah, right, Doobie." Some little kids threw their groggers at Doobie. He said, "Doobie, you're a liar." Carmi said, "Come on, everyone. Let's go find out what Og Melikabashan has up his sleeve." Everyone left the shul, and they started walking to the forest at the edge of town. Everyone was heckling Doobie. Doobie whispered to Miri, "Miri, this is totally backfiring. I thought we would find out who was pranking us. I thought they would admit what they did. But now I'm the one getting pranked." Miri said, "I know, Doobie, I'm sorry. But maybe this is from Hashem. Maybe we spent a little too much time trying to scare people and creep them out. Maybe this is payback. Just like Hashem paid back Haman in the Purim story for all his deceit and manipulation." Doobie said, "But I was just trying to have a fun time on Purim." Just then, Sruli yelled out, "Hey, I found the coordinates! They're right at the base of this mountain." Everyone pointed their flashlights to where Sruli was. There was a giant boulder blocking an entrance to a cavern in the mountain. Everyone said, "Come on, let's lift it together, guys!" And they all started pushing the boulder with all their might. Doobie said, "Wow, someone must really have it in for me. Maybe you're right, Miri. I might have been having a little too much fun at other people's expense these last few years of my life." Miri said, "Don't worry, Doobie. The Torah says Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, means it's a day like Purim. On both days, all your sins can be forgiven. Like on Yom Kippur, we're forgiven for our sins between us and Hashem. Purim is the perfect day to be forgiven for sins between us and our fellow man. We can give gifts, mishloach mano, to people we might have wronged, and bring them back to our good side. And then we can have a joyous suda, where we all party and have a great time together. I bet if you approach some of the people you've wronged over these past few years, they'll forgive you with a full heart." Doobie said, "Miri, I'm going to need to prepare a whole lot of mishloach manotes." Just then, all the people pushing on the boulder suddenly popped it out of place, and it rolled to the side. Inside was a massive cavern. Everyone headed inside. Shruli said, "Doobie, you've really outdone yourself this time." He shook his head and walked inside. Deep inside the mountain, there was what looked to be an ancient apartment. There was a giant iron bed, about 9 cubits long and 4 wide. And there was a painting on the wall of a very beautiful woman. Beneath the painting, it said, "Sara." Rabbi Glick said, "Wait a minute, this couldn't be. No, I mean, our rabbi said that Og Melikabashan was obsessed with Sara Amenu, Avraham's wife, and he wanted to marry her. And he was the one who informed Avraham that his nephew Lot had been taken captive, so that Avraham would go into battle, and if he died, Og thought that he could marry Sarah." Shruli yelled out, "Hey guys, look at this!" There was a giant, ornate bronze chest that was tightly locked. Miri snapped off a sliver of iron from the giant bed. He stuck it into the key lock on the chest. Some little kids jumped on it. and the iron unclicked the lock. Doobie said, "Okay, here we go. What kind of embarrassing prank is in there for me to find?" Everyone gathered around and used all their strength to lift up the top of the chest. Suddenly, there was a blinding green light, illuminating the entire cavern. Just then, a bunch of little kids, their faces covered with Pura masks, scurried up and dived into the chest. They all grabbed onto a giant object and started pulling it out, piece by piece. Nobody could see what it was because there were so many of them. Rabbi Glick said, "Hey, whose kids are these?" But the kids were speaking a language nobody understood. Shruli said, "Are these kids from Andorra?" Suddenly, some kind of giant vehicle parked right outside the cavern outside with a giant crash. Hundreds of little creatures wearing Pura masks got out. They all grabbed a hold of the giant object inside the chest and started moving it toward the vehicle. Doobie said, "What is that?" Meiri said, "It looks like some kind of giant ancient parachute. But for what?" The creatures finished loading the giant object into their vehicle. Its engine roared on, and it started to float up into the sky. But then it started sputtering. The object from the chest was too heavy. The vehicle landed back on Earth. Suddenly, an incredibly loud buzzing came from every direction. Everyone said, "They're attacking! It's all over! We should have listened to you, Doobie!" Then hundreds of little flying drones hovered above the vehicle. They flew into the vehicle, and with some mechanical claws, each one grabbed a piece of the giant object. The drones started flying into the sky. There was finally enough power to lift the object. As the vehicle and the assistance drones flew higher and higher, everyone below could finally see the vast enormity of the object. It looked like a giant curtain, and it had three holes in it. Doobie said, "Are those?" Meiri said, "I think they are." Rabbi Glick said, "By the grace of Hashem, those must be the long-lost underpants of Og, the largest underpants ever created on Hashem's green earth. But who are those creatures who are taking them?" Meiri said, "They must have come from a distant, distant place. Andorra." Shruli said, "No, guys, they came from Mars." Doobie took out the meteor muncher from his Mishloach Manot, and he examined the label. It said kosher, under the supervision of the BDM, Beit Din of Meroz. Doobie said, "No, guys, that translator was off. It didn't say Mars, it said Meroz. What is that?" Rabbi Glick said, "Meroz? In the book of Shoftim, chapter 5, verse 23, our prophetess Devorah cursed someone called Meroz. And some commentaries, including Rashi, say Meroz is actually a distant star or planet. And the creatures there didn't come to the aid of the Jewish people when we needed help in battle. So she cursed them." Just then, thousands of tiny little objects started falling down from the sky. Doobie said, "Ew, what are these?" Meiri said, "They look like ants. They're coming from Og's underpants." Meiri said, "Look, Doobie, they were black ants, after all." Rabbi Glick said, "Cursed is Moroz, and cursed shall they remain." Duvi said, "If there's one thing this holiday has taught me, it's that anybody who goes against the Jewish people ends up being cursed somehow, eventually. Even Og, the mightiest of all giants, was taken down when he tried to harm us by the tiniest of creatures. I'm sorry if I've wronged any of you in the past, or if I played a nasty prank on you." Everyone said, "It's okay, Duvi, we forgive you. Sorry that we didn't believe you." Carmi came up to Duvi and put his arm around him. He said, "Duvi, you're my brother, and I love you. And I can see you've repented for your wrongs. So between me and you, that papier-mâché mountain around your neck is filled with water and several goldfish. I was gonna crack it open with my scepter until everyone you fell into the toilet. But I can see you've learned your lesson." Duvi said, "That's it. I'm getting out of this costume. I want to be someone who's on the good side of the Jewish people." Carmi said, "You already are, brother. You already are."